Welcome to another episode of the Brighter Web Podcast. We have a very special guest today, my business partner, Allie Green, who has not been on any episode we've had so far, but we're looking forward to chatting with her today. So for those that don't know, our company is Green Melon Media. It's Allie Green and Mickey Melon. And so, yeah, today we get the famous Allie Green. So, Allie, thanks for joining us.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It's nice to talk to you on this official platform versus our daily chatter.
Yes, with all the Google Meet calls and everything else we have. Exactly. For sure. And this is a podcast I almost could have just done myself and sort of told the story of Green Melon and how we got here, but I think people would rather hear it from you. So I think let's start there. I think kind of give the backstory to how we got started and how we got from not knowing each other to being in business together for 15 years now.
Our accidental agency, you
mean? Exactly, that one.
Sure. So yes, Mickey and I worked together at a local church in our area, at a very large church. We had about five people on our communications team. So we did a lot of work with the website and all of the collateral that a church needs to promote events and different things that are going on. So we were there for about 4 years, and I went out to pursue a bit of a freelance career and doing graphic design. And Mickey, separately, a year or two later, went out on his own to do some technical work, managing a blog and some other web work.
Yeah, sort of building some websites and, handling the Google Earth blog back in the day. So you can kind of get the time frame right there, back when people actually cared about Google Earth. So,
Well, we quickly realized that neither of us could do our trades on our own, right? We needed to borrow each other's services, and we just kind of passed piddly checks back and forth until one day, I think, Mickey, you had the brilliant idea of, let's just put this in a pot and split it down the middle. And
well, it helped, though, because it's not always that easy. A lot of times you get where two people are talking about one is considerably better than the other. So we just kind of laid it out clean on the table and said, how much did you make last year? And we laid it out, and neither of us made much of anything, but it was like the exact same amount within a few thousand dollars. So we said, okay, cool, it's the same amount. So yeah, let's makes it very easy to put it in a pot and split it. So that was
isn't
fantastic.
That funny thinking back on that. It's like, I mean, what are the chances that we were both so aligned on our attempts to do freelance, but finding it not to be as lucrative as we thought it could be.
Right, for sure.
And I was definitely made some empty promises about freelance before I got started in my freelance career of, you can make this much in an hour. And then in actuality, you can only really bill for billable time. And it didn't amount to what a full-time job would have been. So we welcomed the opportunity to partner. And honestly, thanks to our network at the large church that we had been at, we began to get some traction and some interest and did a few websites together. This was back when we were building in tables and HTML. And if you needed something for blogging, there was always WordPress, but we're going to build you a custom site. We even tried to build our own CMS, remember?
Yeah, we had it for a little while. We had one site that was still running until a couple of years ago, which was amazing, but and very sad.
So, and bless their heart, right? No, so we've transitioned everybody to a proper CMS at this point. But no, that's where we started. That was 14 years ago.
Yep, almost 15. Yeah. And so where did we go from there? So it was the two of us. We're like in the 2010 kind of area. The two of us go, and let's kind of pick it up from there. And how did we? So it was just two of us building a company. Or not even building a company. Two of us just messing around building websites, really.
Right. The Mickey and Allie show.
Company?
So I was, I was designing, you were building websites, and of course we were doing more branding and collateral pieces and print work. And I got to a point where I'm like, design was never really the direction I had planned to go. I ended up by default doing that for the church and ultimately for our clients, and I needed help. I was kind of hit my max. I hit that brick wall and I couldn't bust past it. So we decided, let's bring somebody on the team so we can collaborate, just have a bit more input perspectives, just different thought leadership on our team versus just the two of us. And we kind of brought in our first team member as a contractor and worked hand in hand as a team of three. And that evolved because then we had more demand and we brought on, who was our next hire? I think it was
Susanna was next. But I think even before then, though, we got an office. We figured, okay, we're a team of three. We're supposed to have an office because that's what a real business does, right? So we got an office just off Marietta Square.
And we were sick of meeting at coffee shops.
Well, that too, yes.
We needed to do something more official.
Shops, yes.
Yeah, so we did. Yeah, we got a very small office to start. Mickey, so we've always been quite risk adverse when it comes to growth, mm-hmm. Just because we were not the entrepreneurial, aggressive personalities, right. Neither of us. So I convinced you, let's start small. And as we continue to hire, I think we brought on web support and then brought on a developer from there.
Yep.
And we realized that we've outgrown our office. So we expanded, knocked down some walls, and enjoyed that era of Green Melon for about a decade, right?
Yep. Yeah, we were in that office for just shy of 10 years. Yeah, 9 years. Amazing. And 6 months or something.
Amazing. So now fast forward, we've grown even more, but very carefully, very intentionally, and we've introduced marketing services, so we needed to bring on a marketing team, which has been phenomenal. And gosh, I think my favorite part of what we do today is our team and mm-hmm. working together and collaborating and brainstorming. It's just, you know, keeps us eager and curious to learn more.
Yep. And it's been interesting too, because you never loved design, although you were very good at it. And I kind of enjoyed development, but I was not good at it, especially compared to the developer we have now. And so it's been interesting to get out of those roles and to take new roles, as basically running a team has been our primary job, is taking care of the people that actually do the work. And yeah, it's been quite a transition, but it's been a fun one for us. We both tend to enjoy that. And I know not everyone does.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing to consider when starting a company, is what do you enjoy out of the work? And is it the actual product? Is it the actual creation? And it's kind of the story of the cupcake shop that, you know, they loved baking and they started a cupcake shop and quickly lost their vision because they were no longer baking.
Right,
they were running
a
business.
E-Myth Revisited, that book. I'll put a link to it in the notes. But yeah, that tells the story of, a woman that loved baking. So she started a company, a store around baking, because she loved it so much, and realized, like, I don't get to bake much anymore because I have to run a company instead. And for some people, that's fantastic. And for some people, that's awful.
Yeah, and it's worth considering. It's truly, a deep dive into your why. Why do I want to do this? And I mean, I think we lucked out to a degree that neither of us realized that we would enjoy running a company.
Right.
And we found ourselves here, and we found the passion of what we do is truly in the orchestrating and keeping things humming and coming up with new ideas and trying things and watching them succeed or fail.
Yep. And that is where it gets interesting between an agency and running a company and being a freelancer. Like, we had one former employee who we love dearly, who came to us because she was a freelancer and was tired of the business stuff. She didn't want to chase down clients and have to find invoices and deal with all that. She just wanted to do her work. And so she came to us to just do her work, and she was fantastic. And that's a whole different mindset.
Exactly. She's going to thrive in being a creator. And I find so much value in somebody who truly loves their work. And that is, the best thing you could ask for out of a team member, is somebody who wants to create and wants to do their skill. And then there's a place, obviously, for those that want to think creatively about building business opportunities,
right,
and introducing new services. One thing that we challenge ourselves to do is try a new service every year.
Mm-hmm.
Just try it and see if it succeeds. And you could gain some traction. And if you give it enough time, you can determine if it's the right fit, not only for your team, but also for your audience.
Yeah, for sure. And in her case too, like you said, because she loves what she does so much, she was very, very good at it. I mean, people that are super passionate about their craft tend to be very good at it because they're passionate about it for years and years. And we have that even with a few teammates on our team now that really don't want to ever leave or start their own company or anything. They just want to do their job, and they do it so well. Just fantastic. And again, we both almost have a hard time understanding it because we didn't love our individual craft as much as they do, and it's cool to have people like that that fit both.
We love putting those people together and watching magic happen. And that's what's so fun. I can reminisce to my first experience with that when I got married and put together a team, also known as vendors, that need to work together and execute an event, right? And I mean, this was right around the time that we started Green Melon as well, 15 years ago. And And watching everybody show up, granted, you paid them to show up, so they damn well better.
Well, we do too with the team, so yeah.
Right. And just watching them show up and watching them create a vision that you had and them execute or them guide you through the process is just, it was very fulfilling, very just watching a project come together. And I think that's how it plays out every day, every project that we've had ever since, mm-hmm. We've started. It's just like that. Just putting the right people on a job and watching magic happen.
Yep, for sure. So a question I didn't prepare you for, we'll see how you do, that I get asked a lot and I never have a good answer for. And there's two different angles to it. So it involves partnerships. So one is, what makes a good partnership? Like people say, how did you find Allie? How did you know you wanted to work together? And I don't ever have a great answer for that because we kind of just fell into it and got lucky there. Mm-hmm. But I also hear people say you shouldn't have a partnership. You should have at least three people so that way you have someone to break the ties to, so there's never an argument where you just get stuck. So any thoughts on either of those, how you can know you have the right partner, how you can seek out the right partner, and if two versus three or three versus two is a better way to go?
Well, I think there's truth to both of those things. And I am thinking about this, like you said, for the first time in a little bit, but you're right. We fell into a partnership where both of us don't really create a lot of friction. So mm-hmm. there's just a very easy relationship when it comes to decision making. We own our lanes. We can steer each other in one direction and nobody gets upset about it.
Right. Owning our lanes is huge Mm-hmm. If I have a technical thought, I'll get your insight on it, but you know that it's my decision to make and vice versa for other things that you own. And we never even really established those. It just kind of has fallen into place where I know that that's your final decision. So I'll give you my input and you do what you want to do and it's all good.
Right. I mean, 100%. It's like our brains, we kind of operate the different sides of our brains and put together, we know that we're better together. But even when it comes to the friction part, we can both offer suggestions and we listen to each other, mm-hmm. But we can also pivot. We're not so stuck in our idea that we can't, that we put blinders up. So I think that's helped us a lot. It's just being open to new ideas, being open to considering other people's perspectives.
Yeah, I think in our case too, we got lucky. It's kind of hurt us. So we follow EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System. There's a book called Traction that talks about that. And you should have a visionary and an integrator in most companies. And I'm sort of have taken the visionary role, but we're really both integrators at heart, which means that we both kind of just want to get things done. We don't have this push to grow bigger and bigger and faster. And I think that's where probably a lot of friction comes in for other companies, where one person wants to run and grow and the other one wants to just take it slow and easy and careful. We've both taken it slow and easy and careful. Still grown. I mean, certainly we're a team of nine now and doing well, but after 15 years, there's other companies that are a team of 1,000. And, I think a lot of other companies that after 15 years tried to be a team of 1,000 and went out of business. And so we've been more cautious to grow slow. And we got just lucky there, I think, too.
Well, I think there was maybe an unintentional or an unspoken alignment that we both knew, but maybe my advice would be to have that intentional conversation mm-hmm. with your partner where you want the company to go. And that's where, a brief business plan can be helpful.
That would have been
one
nice.
Page business plan. Yeah. We skipped a lot of that part. We tried. I can dig back into my files and find it.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I'm sure.
Plans.
We played with
They're
a lot
in
of
there.
That. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're in there. I'm not sure how many came to fruition, but I think that unspoken alignment that we had where we both knew that this was going to be a lifestyle company for us. I mean, going fast forward or rewinding back to the start when I was thinking about going freelance, I was doing that for the lifestyle advantages, mm-hmm. being able to work from home, start a family, keep those flexible hours. That was always my intention and my path for what I wanted for my career, especially with a husband that travels.
Yep.
And that, I think you knew that and mm-hmm. you respected that. And we've grown with that alignment throughout. And I think that was just finding that alignment with your partner is crucial, because if one wants to grow and step on the gas, the other wants to tap the brakes, you're going to part ways.
Right. And it's interesting with the lifestyle. I never thought of it that way before, where we both wanted a lifestyle business, but I think for slightly different reasons. You wanted it more for flexibility, but a lifestyle business also gives you generally a slightly higher salary, and it took a while to get there, versus if you're building to sell and you want to grow, you got to pour everything back into it. And you can make millions and millions if you get huge and sell, but you got to just go as skinny as you can for a decade to get to that point. We want to know. We want to enjoy life, and we don't make tons of money, but we do well enough and can do that and have freedom. And we're never going to sell for millions and millions of dollars, but that's a trade-off we were willing to make, and it's worked out very well for us. Is that accurate, you think?
Yeah, no, I think that is accurate. And the one other thing I was going to mention, you originally asked about 2 versus 3, and I think we existed as 2 for a very long time, but I think we've been wise to introduce a third party in a lot of our conversations. Mm-hmm. We've had a business coach for 4 years, give or take. Yeah. Before that, we worked with another kind of business coach model, and on our team, even, Mickey, if you think about the way that we've created our team, we've kind of created tripods of team members that work together.
Yeah.
So we've had the mentality of threes, doing things in threes, even though we're a partnership. So, and now that we do practice the EOS model for operating Green Melon, we've introduced some of our team into some of our leadership conversations to help with that perspectives and team input. You know, we now have members in that conversation to help bring the team's perspective to us.
Yep.
That sometimes we lack because we're not in projects like we used to be.
Right.
So while we are a partnership, I think we do a really good job of bringing other people to the table so that we have productive conversations.
Yep, for sure. Well said. And my initial thought was just in terms of solving disagreements, but again, we've never really had too much of that in general anyhow. And so yeah, getting other input has been very helpful as well.
Sure.
All right, we're getting a little low on time here, so let me give you one more question here. Going back over the 15 years, is there anything you would have done differently? Any decisions we've made that you said, gosh, I wish we would have? And it's tricky because we love where we are now. So you think butterfly effect, like if we made that change 13 years ago, we might not be where we are. So take that out of the equation. Just anything you say, I wish we would have made that change a little bit different. I have a couple in mind, if you don't have anything, but.
Yes. Well, the one that comes to mind first is the processes we've created over the years have happened organically, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really the only way that we could have created them, because we were building the cars, we were driving it.
Correct.
Flying as we building the plane as we're flying it. So the processes we've created have been so beneficial to the growth of our company, because we can copy paste, rinse, repeat. Our team knows the process.
Yep.
And we're not, inventing new, approaches to our service model anymore. Like, we have a strong service model. I wish we could have put more into that, more research into that on the forefront and established that, because I think once we got the traction of process and documented our processes, we were able to take off.
Yeah.
Like, I think that accelerated a lot of our growth and a lot of our success. So I don't know how we would have established processes earlier and documented them earlier, but that would have been
We had them earlier. It's just learning to document them. I still remember our car ride home, you, me, and our designer from Ward Camp Atlanta, like in 2012, we were like, oh my gosh, we have this process for building sites. We've never really written it down. And just like, we were all scrambling to write it down and built it out. And that was huge. I mean, just having that process written down, we all knew how it worked in theory, but let's get it down on paper. And it was, and then let's build more processes and go from there. And that's been incredibly helpful. So
Mine are a little more
tactical. One is back to that first office. I remember we were looking, there were two offices available. There was one that was like the perfect size for what we need and a little room for growth. And it was fantastic. And the one that was a little small one that would just get us started. And again, both being a little risk averse, like, let's do a little small one. And then very quickly we were like, dang, we should have gotten that other one, because it was bigger and better. And so I think going back, the difference in cost was not enough. We should have gone across the hall there and gotten that space. But again, it worked out great the way it was. But again, just in terms of a decision. And then, of course, we made very few, but a couple hiring mistakes that, again, I would like to do them differently, but we learned a lot from it too. I think over 15 years, we've really only made 2 hiring mistakes, which is not bad at all. I think we're pretty good with that. But those hurt us and hurt them and wasn't a great thing. But we all learned from it. And I know, especially in the first one, it made us rethink, how that role should even look. Like, maybe it was not their fault. It was kind of our fault. And let's rethink the role. So I think it helps, but I still feel bad about the, you never want to make a hiring mistake for anyone's, cost us a lot of money, cost them. And so that was, unfortunate.
Yeah,
but we learned a lot
from
those.
Playing too. with, Right. Playing with people's fates is always a very, it's got a lot of power when it comes to hiring and firing, and it can be a scary place to be. Some people thrive on that power and enjoy it, and, you know, we're a little bit more.
We do not so much yet.
Not so much.
And this is also why we're risk averse to those, because we know that we're holding people's lives in our hands, and so we never want to, you know, if you build and get some big clients and go, 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 you may lose some of those big clients and have to fire, fire, fire. And so we've never, you know, never had to let someone go for budgetary reasons or missed a payroll or anything just because we go so slow and keep things so wide. I think one thing we do almost, I'll say too well, but you should never have a client that's a whale that takes up, you know, a big percentage of your revenue. And there's different numbers on how big is too big. But I think our biggest client is like 4%, which is just tiny, which is a little more work for us to maintain that many clients, but makes us super, super risk averse and super safe. And, you know, again, if we lose our biggest client, it's a big blip. It's not really a big deal, but again, also limits us from hitting the sky, but we're okay with that. So it works out and still able to serve all our clients very well and know that we're safe and our team feels safe that, you know, they know. I remember the first time a couple years ago, we had a couple of team members, we lost one of those bigger clients. And a couple team members were kind of worried. They're like, oh my gosh, they were a big client. Like, are we going to be okay? And we're like, yep. Like, let's just kind of do the math here. It's all good. It's a shame we lost them. They were good folks, but they're in a, you know, they have a better situation now, but it's all good. And able to calm that down and say, okay, yeah, we're going to keep rolling. And it's a nice place to be where you can have that happen. And, you know, I know one of our teammates was at a company that they had one client that was what, like 80% of their business, and they lost them and laid off like 100 people. Cause that was it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they were big and made millions and, you know, but that's a risk you take.
That's called playing with lives, right?
Yeah, for sure. So,
well, I think the next podcast will be about the safety net of recurring revenue.
There you go. That could be a good one too. Yeah, recurring revenue is a fantastic thing. Can be hard to do depending what your company is, but yeah, if you can have it in there, it's fantastic. So, Allie, this has been great. I'm sure people may have more questions for you. How can they track you down?
Well, obviously, greenmelonmedia.com is where most of my thought leadership lives and all of my team's amazing work. So you can always find us there, and then LinkedIn.
Cool.
You can add that to the show notes if you
I'll drop a link to her LinkedIn and then to that book we mentioned, The E-Myth. I'll drop those in the show notes so you can find those. And Allie, this was fantastic. Thank you so much for being on with us.
Thanks for having me.